We've been in the book of James, Yaakov, and we're going to pick up today. I finished in the middle of a verse or a chapter last time. And so we're going to pick up today in chapter 2, verse 12. We're going to pick up there. Chapter 2, verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I could stop right there. Everyone's happy. Praise your Lord. When I started this, this series, one of the key things that I want to, get across and have you just get, you know, sometimes you know something, but then eventually you get it. You put that coin in the Coke machine and it goes clink, 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 clunk, and you got it. All of the men we talk about in the Brit Hadashah, they were Jews. These were, you know, the apostles. James, he was Jewish, speaking to his people about the Torah. He wasn't speaking as about some new religion that was created and we're gonna. He was teaching Torah and reminding people of Torah, reminding his people of Torah. So with that in mind, let's keep on going here. All right, verse 13, we need to make sure we're showing mercy to others and not judgment. I like that. I like that he's reminding them of this. He's not telling them something new. He's simply reminding them of what they know. When you come to service, you should be, you know, it's nice to hear something you've never heard before. It's great. But too often you get yourself into a position where the things that you know, you don't do. That's where 99% of the problems you have are, of not doing what you know to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's nice to get excited and hear something you've never heard. I love that. But if you don't have the fundamentals right and maintained and acted out, then all the other stuff, it's not gonna matter. You know, it's not gonna matter how souped up the engine is and the transmission if you've got tires. You're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have good works? Can faith save him? And this is something we ended up in the last, towards the end of the last message about faith and works. If you have received Yeshua as Lord by faith, this should change your works. Amen? Hallelujah. These things are connected. Faith and works go hand in hand. And again, just so people out there can hear this straight, again, we're not saved by works, but once you receive Yeshua as Messiah, works is all you have. Works is a result of you doing what he told you to do. It doesn't save you, but you'll be rewarded for it. And works is a testament to you and to everyone else that you are not living for yourself, but Adonai your Elohim. Hallelujah. That's as plain and simple as it gets. You know, if you ever want me to be honest with you and you ask me a question, the first thing I'm going to ask you is that, okay, look, you want me to pray with you and believe with you about something? I don't know. I don't want to know what the Lord told you to do. However, are you doing what the Lord told you to do? Don't even answer me. But you need to answer that yourself, because if you're not, then you can pray and you can do all this kind of, you can pray, you can fast, you can get into groups, you can have hands laid on you. But if you're not doing what the Lord told you to do, you're going to have some problems seeing the things in your heart come to pass that you're praying for. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. I have written here, if you stood before a judge, having been convicted of being a follower of Yeshua, the judge should have plenty evidence to convict you and find you guilty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what James is talking about. These are his people that he's reminding. He's saying, hey, brother in the back, you remember this? Maybe he knew they forgot. Maybe he knew that they weren't doing what they knew to do. Anybody ever have to correct somebody that you love, that you know they're doing wrong, and the last person you know you want to hear it from is someone who's close to you? You know, husbands, I won't say the last, but towards the bottom of the list of people you want to hear, well, you know, I told you that 50 years ago, is from your wife. But you know, if you have a buddy who says it, you know, oh man, you know, he said this, and oh man, just the light came on. Well, I've been telling you that for 50 years. One of the second, I'd say down there too, of people who you don't want to get corrected by, I never want to get corrected by a, you know, whether it's a pastor or by rabbi, that kind of thing, where, and when I say don't want to be corrected by, meaning that I want to be correct, I want to be in such a place with the Lord that the Lord speaks to me and I'm corrected. That's it. I don't need anybody else to do what the Lord told you to do, and you can stay away from all kinds of mess. Amen? So let's keep going on here. Verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked, and this is very interesting, naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit them? You know, the Lord has called us to help one another, and I just want to bring some things into balance that you hear these crazy teachings one way or the other way. He's called us to help one another, but notice here, he says if they need food and clothing, and if you have that, you can help that brother and sister in need, but you don't know someone living. So that's where, you know, as believers, we can get sucked into people wanting to just mooch and just, they'll just, people will just suck you dry for everything from money to praying to you fill in the blank. And you're not called to that. We're not called to that. You know, what, if someone has an emergency, it's one thing. If someone's lifestyle is an emergency, you know, that's another thing. And what I love about Yaakov, James here, is that when he's telling them this, you know what they're remembering? They're thinking about when a farmer has a field. There are laws that the farmer has to abide by so that the poor amongst in the community can eat, so they don't starve to death. The stranger. There's laws governing what he has to give in order to take care of the, you know, the synagogue, the temple. The Lord has put all these things in place and in order. And he's reminding them of this. So if someone comes to you and they're teaching you or trying to get something from you with a guilt trip, something that you're not obligated to give them, don't. I'm just helping you because I know how it is with, you run into people. People know your generous heart. They know that you're prepared. They know that you work, you have a job, and they don't do it. The Lord always wants you to have your hand to something, doing something, making your situation better. The first thing they tell you in survival training, and this goes back to, you know, military training too, it's all connected. You know, if you're lost in the wilderness somewhere, you don't just sit there and do nothing. They tell you always do something to make your situation better. You always do something to help yourself, right? That makes sense? If you don't help yourself, and if you don't put yourself in a position to actually have, then what do you do when someone legitimately comes to you with a need? Can the Lord use you? Hallelujah. And you know, for me, it's just my personality. You know, I grew up basically with nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean no running water, no electricity some of the time, no food at times. I remember going hunting for dinner. And I say all that to say, I remember growing up where we had family members and cousins who had a whole lot more than we did. And I remember as a boy saying, you know what? I will never be broke because I'm lazy. You can be broke and not have anything for a lot of different reasons. But don't ever let it be because you're lazy. Because you're not willing to put your hand to something. And you can always do something. When everyone does something and puts their hand to something, it makes things go so much faster, so much easier. And it's a blessing to everyone. And people notice. People notice when someone does. People notice when someone doesn't do. You know, James here, the Lord put on his heart to speak to his people, obviously. Why? They need to be reminded. If they knew all this and they were doing it, do you think the Lord would have had him tell them this? No, he wouldn't have. So we all need to be reminded of this. Another thing concerning this, we talked about a few. You know, if you have something that can help a brother or sister, do so, but we don't know anyone living. And I love this verse. Again, another Brit Hadashah, New Testament rabbi, speaking about something in the New Covenant, in the Brit Hadashah, that goes all the way back to Torah. And if you don't realize it, you just think it's some new thing that they were saying there that never existed prior to that. But Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can actually repeat that if you can. Hallelujah. If you don't, you don't eat. If you don't work. We talked about the workers today in Matthew chapter 20. At the end of the day, there were still people there who hadn't been hired. They were willing to work, but it says that nobody hired them. But if you look at the whole picture of Yeshua, how he feels to us, it looks as though, at least what I believe, that maybe they were older. Maybe they were disabled. Maybe they were slow, crippled, you name it. Because at the beginning of the day, that the farmer, he comes there and he keeps hiring people four or five times, more and more people he's bringing. And the people you're going to bring in first, if you're paying, are people who are going to be best suited to do what you need done, right? Does that make sense? If I need my car, my engine fixed, if there's a mechanic and there's 20 bakers, well, guess what? I'm going to hire the mechanic. If I have to go down to a baker, I'm going to say, any bakers have any experience? You know, you're going to work your way down. But because of the goodness of the farmer's heart, he even hired them. And it shows you he was good, because what did he do? He paid ones who worked for less than an hour or so the same as he paid people who worked all day. He was good. This is how the Father is to us. He takes care of us and he pays. He takes care of us in ways for doing things for a short amount of time that people have been doing for thousands of years. Or somebody's been serving the Lord for 50 years and somebody on their deathbed, they're 100, and they never knew the Lord, but then they accepted the Lord and they close their eyes, next thing you know, they're gone. Same salvation. Reward's a different thing. Salvation, yes. His goodness towards us. So this is what he's talking about here. He's telling, James is reminding his people to be good to one another. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? He was justified by his works, which was based on his faith to do what Adonai told him to do in the first place. Hallelujah. God will instruct you to do something, and sometimes you have time to act. You have time to drag your feet a little, and it won't matter. But then there are times when you need to act either quickly or steadily before the windows of opportunity to accomplish what he told you to do closes. And it's important to recognize the difference. You know, we don't have, just in the natural, we don't have a lot of time. The Lord is coming back. That's one thing. People that he leads you to, it's been a blessing to minister to people in the hospital on their deathbed, literally win them to the Lord within hours of them passing, family members, friends. And you know, you can look at a situation like that and see, you know what, there's a real window of time. And there's like a little portal, that's it. And if you don't get in there and do what the Lord told you to do, that could be it. And we have to recognize when those times are. We have to recognize what the Lord is telling us to do and when to do it, how to do it. How does that come? By praying and talking to the Lord. And reminding ourselves of what He told us. I tell people this all the time. Whatever He's telling you to do, if you're doing it, keep going. If He told you to do something and you stop doing it, and you're not hearing from Him, then go back to the last place you heard from Him and pick up where you left off and keep doing what He told you to do. Pretty simple. As opposed to, you know, Lord, this year this is real big. You know, you hear people, they want to read through the Bible in a year. Wonderful. So, you know, in the Gregorian calendar, January 1 comes around and they've got their Bible there and they've got their little daily reading sheet. And you know, it's New Year's Day, you're off work, you have time, you're excited about it. And they get that and they'll read it and they just go to bed like, whoo, I did it. Made it through a day. Then a couple days later, depending on when that falls, Monday or Tuesday rolls around and it's time to go to work. And you slept and, oh, I got to go to work. And then you've been at work all day and you're tired. And what happens? You come home and you miss it that one day. And now you're off pace. And days pass and weeks pass. And before you know it, you're around March and you're so far behind that it's hopeless. I mean, you have to literally take a vacation from work to get caught up. And what do most people do at that point? They totally stop. Because in their mind, they've given themselves some artificial time frame that something has to be completed, rather than going into it with the idea of, I'm just going to do this because I love the Lord and let the Lord direct me. People ask me, well, what are you reading this week? For my personal, well, just where the Lord directs me, I'll go in. If you put some artificial parameters on what you want to learn that's different from what the Lord is trying to show you to study, you won't get the results you're looking for. It'll be dry. But when you're reading the Word, if you're reading, go to where the Lord is showing you. You can go to one verse, and the Lord can open that thing up like a whole book. So what's my point? Back to the same thing, to remind yourself to do what the Lord told you to do, but also to remind yourself of what He told you to do. This is what James is doing here. By faith and works, working together. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? I can personally think of some things that the Lord told me to do. And this is tied to Abraham. Or things that I was at total peace about doing with the Lord or for the Lord that I flaked out on. Anybody ever been there? I'm assuming everybody's been there at some point. I'll assume that. If you're there now, don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. But it cost me. It cost me years of ministry. It cost me experiences I would have had with the Lord. But here's what I want to get to again. I watched as doors of opportunity were not just closed, but sometimes slammed in my face. And when I look back at these things, I only have one person to blame. You. No, I'm kidding. That'd be the easy thing to do, blame you, blame your spouse, blame your children, blame your parents, blame the rabbi, blame, you know, whoever. But I have only one person to blame. You know, it's interesting, you've heard this before, whenever you point your finger at one person, you've got three of them pointing back at you. So I never point at anybody because they're pointing right back at me. But you have yourself to blame. And it's interesting, people want to blame the devil. And I'm going off topic here, but I just got to throw this out there. Or people want to blame the Lord. And people want to say things like, well, you know, it wasn't the timing. Well, I'm all for the Lord's timing. That's a wonderful thing. I'm all for it. That being said, if He told you to do something and you didn't do it, then yeah, the timing is off because you didn't do it. But ask the Lord what to do, then get started again. I see people all the time that are motionless. like they're sitting in the parking lot in a car holding the steering wheel. Okay, we got to go, we got to go, we got to go. Okay, yeah, well, do you know where you're going? Yes. Have you started the car? No. Are you just going to sit there all day and be actionless? The Lord will tell you to start the car and start driving, and guess what he'll tell you? Okay, turn. Oh, turn again. But if you're sitting there not driving, not doing anything, the Lord can't direct you. He'll sit there and wait for you to do the last thing he told you to do. And the further you get away from doing the last thing he told you to do, guess what? The easier it is to not do the last thing he told you to do. Lack of discipline at key times when key opportunities present themselves will cost you. And I want to repeat that. Lack of discipline at key times when opportunities present themselves, it'll cost you. And sometimes it'll cost you things that you'll never be able to go back. I had a conversation. I'm going to get through this as quickly as I can. I had a conversation with someone a while back, and we got to talking about what is the most precious natural commodity we have. And most people, the answer they give you to this question is what? I saw you. No, don't say it. You're right. Don't say it because you're giving it away for me. But money, right? You hear money? People will do so much for money. Sacrifice their life, their health, their relationships, their time serving the Lord for money. But money is something everyone can make. Even the poorest person among you can make money. Okay? Now look at this. Even if you had to go walking down the street from trash can, picking up cans and bottles to recycle, you could make some money, right? Is that okay? But the most precious commodity we have is time. And I've never seen a trash can, I have written here, that had bottles or cans full of time. Anybody? Time is the most precious natural thing we have, and once it's used up, it's used up. So why am I saying this? Because we all need to do what the Lord is telling us to do in a timely manner. When the Lord sends you somewhere to do something and you don't do it, opportunities dry up, and wherever he tells you to do something, he will provide the finances or the provisions to do it. Now I'm going to go through this in kind of super fast mode because I want to get through the end of this chapter. So listen to this. Adonai told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. But what if he would have said no? He wouldn't have seen the provision of the Lord that the Lord had in mind for him. He would not have been justified by faith through his works. The whole conversation regarding Abraham would forever be altered. Faith without works is dead. Let's continue in verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So I ask you, what are you doing? What are you supposed to be doing? What did God tell you to do? I want to pause right here for a second. There's a scripture that's quoted a lot that talks about the watchman on the wall. And what it says about him is pretty sobering for the watchman. Is that he's to sound the alarm when he sees danger and alert the people. And then if he doesn't, the blood of the people is on his hands. We're called to alert people whether they listen or not. But we're called to be the ones to sound the alert. I'm called to sound the alert to help you to get yourself in order. As a soldier, you know, they're standing there, they're talking. Then the general comes in or somebody, and they get themselves quickly in order to hear the commands that are going to be given to them. Is that right? So sometimes it's difficult to be up here and to actually say, hey, you know, are you doing what the Lord told you to do? Especially if you ever talk to somebody, you know they're not doing what the Lord told them to do. That's the hardest, because then you already know the answer. And it's not fun being the watchman on the wall. But as you all go out week by week, you are watchmen in whatever little gathering of people you're around. You're watchmen. You may be the only person they ever come around who can warn them and lead them right. And this isn't something that's heavy on you where you just have to be I'm the savior of the whole valley. No, but you have to do what the Lord tells you to do, and He will give you ways of talking to people and ministering to people. And when you do it once and you ask for more, He'll keep on opening, 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 and opening. So again, just like James to his people, this is all just a reminder. So Yaakov wrote this book to his people who were scattered abroad. And the first thing he tells them is to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. They and their families been dispersed within the last generations. But he continues reminding them of Torah and what they had been taught and knew. And he tells them to have faith in God through Yeshua and to continue to do the good works pleasing to God. This is like one big yellow sticky note on the refrigerator. Just one big reminder. Pick up the milk on your way home from work. Do the thing the Lord told you to do. Stop and drop off the dry cleaning. Remember to study the Torah this week. One big reminder. So you may have plenty of reasons in the natural to give up on some things. And I know I have plenty of reasons in the natural to give up on some things. But I'm not going to. And you have to decide not to. There's a reason. Everyone had a good reason not to show up today. Yeah. But you show up. All the natural stuff, the devil and every little demon from hell will give you 50 natural reasons not to do the one thing the Lord is calling you to do. Constantly. But let your faith in God compel you to continue to do and complete the works that He has called you to do. Verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And as we conclude chapter 2, I want to state these three things. Again, restate, remind. Whenever you read through the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, the New Testament, remember, it's just an extension of the Tanakh and the Torah. The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of Adonai and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. So why do we study and why are we equipped? We're equipped for every good work. We're equipped to actually do something. Not just to believe, not just to have faith, not just to speak, but to actually do something. God wants us to serve Him in every good work. And when He says all scripture, this isn't for any of us here because you guys know this. This is for people watching online. What scripture is He primarily referring to? The Torah. The Tanakh. The Gospels and the Epistles were not widely circulated and accessible to the people, not like they are now. So what he's referring to what they knew, what they were taught. So I want to say, continue to follow the instruction of Adonai. And let me repeat this, I have here for the umpteenth time, whatever God told you to do, do it by faith. Attached to corresponding works. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we praise You, we worship You, and we just thank You, oh God, for Your goodness to us. We praise You and we worship You. We honor You with our lives. We honor you with the works that you've called us to do. Let us go and do them by faith continually. Hallelujah.